Welcome to a World of Good podcast. I'm Nate Tapman.
And I'm Andrew Gale.
And we are two friends
who love Jesus,
care about the church,
and travel the world to share stories of people who do the same.
Our conversations happen in all kinds of places,
like a coffee shop in an airport terminal,
or even the back of a crowded taxi.
But no matter where we go, from Argentina to Zimbabwe,
we capture stories of the good God is doing around the world.
And we hope those stories will do you a world of good. Welcome to A World of Good podcast. My name is Andrew Gale, and I am sitting in my hotel, a little apartment here, where we are having the Europe and Middle East team meeting. So it's the missionaries from across the Europe and Middle East region. It's called the Three Worlds Team. They're meeting here in Prague, Czech Republic, in order to process team dynamics, to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to hear what's happening on the ground. Our teams across the world do this often. They get together as missionaries, as global personnel, to talk through life and ministry. Many of them are isolated. They may serve as the only missionary in the country where they are. And so having a sense of team means every once in a while being together. And this team does a team meeting usually every 12 to 18 months, but during COVID, we're not able to do that. And the last time they were all together, I think, was back in Florida, in Orlando in 2019, but they have not been together for a number of years. And so we're so excited to get to be here with our missionaries in the Europe and Middle East region and just to hear about what's going on. But that's actually not what we're talking about today. I have two wonderful ladies that are going to share some of their experience of being missionary kids. They are the daughters of Nate and Stacy Tapman, our regional coordinators for Europe and the Middle East. And I am so excited. I mean, I haven't listened to this yet because we haven't done it yet. We're doing this in real time, but I have a good sense that this is going to be one of my favorite interviews that I've done because you guys are awesome. So thank you so much for being willing just to have a conversation with me. So first, before we get started, let's go with names. So what's your name, your age, and what is your favorite boba tea flavor?
Okay.
Emily loves boba tea, by the way.
My name is Emily. I'm 14 years old, and my favorite boba flavor, I probably have to say mango.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'm Daleska, I'm 18, and I think my favorite is tapioca.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that goes with everything, obviously.
Yes, it does. That's what I had last night. I did the bursting ones a couple nights ago, and last night I was like, I just want the normal tapioca ones in, and it was delicious. I've had more bubble tea here than I probably have my entire life prior to this. It's been fun. So before we jump into kind of life in Spain, tell me first about your time here. How have things been going in Prague? What kind of things have you been doing?
Well, it's been really good. I think Prague is one of my favorite cities, and we've been watching some of the kids.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty fun. We've been doing crafts, and then we have been taking them to the park, and we actually went to get bubble tea yesterday.
That's awesome.
So that's been fun.
So you have Lola, who's like 5, and mm-hmm. Sophie, who's like 10, that got bubble tea for the first time, right? I mean, at least for Lola, it was the first
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you're here, and you get to explore, but you also have a job. I mean, you're watching the kids,
mm-hmm.
and that's gone really well. Has that been fun to get to know them?
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah. Yeah, I missed hanging out with them.
Yeah, they have big personalities.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But they are awesome.
Yeah.
Emily, what's your favorite thing about Prague? What have you enjoyed about being here in the city?
I probably have to say getting all the boba tea is probably my favorite part.
I wondered.
The kids do have some pretty funny things to say.
Oh, yeah. They say lots of funny things.
Yes, for sure. I would probably say that's like pretty much it. The food here is really good, actually. I'm usually a picky eater, but yeah, it's pretty good here.
That's awesome. How would you describe the city for someone who hasn't seen Prague before? I know I'm asking some tough questions to start with, but I just wonder, like, how would you, for someone who's never been to Prague, what's it like?
I'd say the buildings are very, like, they're all very different. They're all super unique. They have a lot of, like, great shops.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of, like, ice cream places, gelato, boba places, a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the buildings are all unique. That's one of the things I've loved about it. They're really beautiful, old, ornate. Like, the buildings have lots of like statues and pieces of them that just make it a really, it's a really beautiful city, and it's very walkable. Do you guys know how many steps you've been taking every day? Do you keep track of that?
No.
Well, for me, I've been checking my steps every day because by the end of that day, I'm super tired. Yeah. But I've been walking around, I don't know, maybe from 8,000 steps to 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot.
I had an 18,000 day.
Oh, that's crazy.
And a 14,000 day. It's a lot of steps. It's great because it is so walkable, but you don't realize how much you're walking.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of walking for sure.
So you guys, you don't live in Prague. You're just here visiting, but you live where? Tell us about where you live and tell us about that.
Yeah, we live in Madrid, Spain right now. So we're in the process of finding a house.
Yeah, that's been a difficult process for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
those are things that, and we don't have to get into the specifics, but those are things I don't think people realize how complicated it is as a foreigner, even though, you know, you have all the visa stuff that you do to be legally there to be working. There's still so many obstacles to even renting. It's not like you're trying to buy, you're just trying to rent a house. Mm-hmm. And you've had a number of homes that have fallen through as you've gone through that process. But hopefully you're close to narrowing in on one.
Yeah.
Emily, what are some of the things that you love about living in Spain?
I gotta say, Spain's not like my favorite place.
Sure.
But I love my school. When I first started going there, I did not think I was gonna like it because small, there's only like boys in my class, which to be fair, they're not bad at all. Like less drama, you know, less of that. Yeah, the people there like rock, like my Spanish teacher, she's awesome. Even my tutor, she's pretty great too.
Where did you move from? So, because you've only been in Spain for about 18 months, right? A year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah.
So where were you before that?
In America.
Okay. Where in America?
Indiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you enjoy living in Indiana?
Yes. I liked it very much.
Do you miss Indiana?
Yes, I do. I miss the people, my old school, my old house, the food, Chipotle.
It's difficult to pick up everything and say those goodbyes and then head across to a different place with different people and learning those new friendships and all that. That's a huge risk.
Yeah.
Deleska, what do you like about Spain? What are some of the things that you enjoy?
I don't know. I will say that people, I don't know. I'm not really friends with, like, I don't really have any Spanish friends.
Okay.
It would be like just the Latinos that, you know, like I hang out with, like the church people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm a city girl. So like, I love like going out and I don't know, shopping and I don't know, getting coffee in that city.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like the modern buildings, like just the history about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that food, but there are like some foods I guess that I like.
Okay. So like what are some of your favorite foods there?
Well, I don't know. I like paella. Okay. Only like the vegetables one. So like, I don't know, with chicken.
Yeah.
Not with like, I don't like seafood.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. There's a lot of seafood in Madrid, right?
Yeah. And then I like the croquetas and patatas bravas.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I think that's pretty much it. The Spanish food that I like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. It's a really cool country, I guess.
Yeah.
But the Spanish is different. It's not like Costa Rican Spanish.
Because you're a Spanish speaker. For those that don't know, you speak Spanish because you grew up in Costa Rica.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have Spanish, but so tell us about what's different about it. Like what, when you say it's different to someone who doesn't speak another language, they may be, or doesn't speak Spanish, they may be like, what do you mean it's different? Isn't it all Spanish?
Yeah. Still the same language, but just the way that, I don't know, they have like a lisp.
Yeah.
I don't know. They use like the vosotros.
Yep.
And then we don't in Costa Rica.
So vosotros being informal you guys?
The informal. Yeah. And then in Costa Rica, they don't use that usted. They use usted for like older people.
Okay.
Just to be kind, you know.
So usted being the word you, but it's the formal version of you.
Yeah.
So they use it only for older people.
Yes. But in Costa Rica, we use usted for everyone.
Oh, okay.
Like it doesn't matter if like if you guys are best friends or family members. We just
interesting.
Use it.
You use usted for everything.
Yeah. And then at the end of words, they use the I's or A's. So it's Thais.
Interesting.
Yeah, just things like that. Yeah. And like their slang, I don't get any of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we forget, like, we have idioms, right? Those phrases that don't really mean what you're saying, but they have a separate meaning, like you're driving me up the wall, which means like you're making me crazy, you know, but you're not actually driving anything up the wall. But when you go to another country, they may speak the same language, but have totally different idioms, which means you don't have any idea what they're saying.
Yeah. But I don't know, just things like that. They also like speak super fast and they don't finish their words. So like even, you know, Spanish speakers like from Latin America, a lot of times don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
So they're like, can you like slow down so we can understand what you're saying? But
to be fair, Costa Rican is some of the best Spanish in all of Latin America, right? I mean, you guys. But it's very clean. It's very, you know, and so that would be a big adjustment from that to what Spain would be.
Yeah.
Like.
And also like so many people from the US or other countries go to Costa Rica to study Spanish, to learn that, you know, Spanish. But
because it is such a kind of pure, normal form of Spanish. There's not all of these different uniquenesses.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you, Emily, do you struggle with the Spanish in Spain?
I mean, it's sometimes it's hard to understand it, but like I understand it. I just prefer not to speak Spanish at all.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I just like English better.
Yeah.
Like if someone doesn't understand something in English, then like I'll tell them.
Okay.
Like in Spanish or something. But
yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's like most of our school is like a bunch of like little kids that are still trying to learn English.
So that was going
to
be my question. Is your school in English?
Yeah, it's an American school.
Okay.
We do everything in English except Spanish class, of course.
Which makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That's awesome. So you, even in your classes, you get to speak English. And so that works out well for someone who loves speaking English.
Yeah, it does.
Do you do any activities at school? Are there like sports or music or anything that you get to do as a part of that?
At the beginning of the school year, we did music class. And then like when you get to seventh grade, you're not supposed to do it anymore.
Gotcha.
So we stopped doing it like towards the middle of it. And then towards the end, we did art instead. And then so we did art. And then towards the end of the school, like at the end of the school year, they started doing clubs like chess club or random act of kindness club or those kind of clubs.
Very cool.
I joined the random act of kindness, but it wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. But I'd really like to get into volleyball this school year.
Oh, cool. So,
yeah.
I like volleyball. So I'm glad to hear that. And if you ever want to talk volleyball strategy, you let me know. That'll be
okay.
So you guys are living in Spain. You've been there for 18 months. You got settled into a home, but now you're moving. So you have to get settled into a new community. That's a lot of transition. What's been one of the most difficult adjustments that you've had to make in this transition?
I'd probably say like finding like good friends because I mean, like there's like my school's small. I didn't really get into sports last school year and like finding people around your community is hard too. But the town that we're moving into now, it's smaller. So I mean, and some of my friends do live there. Yeah. So I'm hoping to like get closer to them and finding new friends too.
Yeah, that's I think it's an important thing to realize is that you're going to a school, it's a private school so that it's in English, but that means that kids are from all over the city. And so it's not like you're, you know, going back to a place where all those kids are. So you can build friendships at school, but I would guess it's a lot more complicated than to have like outside of school friends, which may end up feeling really lonely. I mean, compared to what your experience was in Indiana, where you're going to a school in the same city that you're a part of and going to church with a lot of the same people, I would assume, that were, you know, at the school. That's a big change. How about for you, Daleska? What's been one of the big adjustments now moving to Spain?
I do online school.
Yep.
So I will have to say the same thing about friends.
Yeah. So there's no activities and stuff for you because you're doing everything online.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a big transition. Was that a big, did that feel like a really big change going from, I mean, you were at a school in Northern Indiana at Lakewood, which, I mean, has a couple hundred kids, right? At least. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a decent sized school to doing everything online where you're by yourself.
Yeah. It's actually like going to be my third year being homeschooled, like doing, because I started ever since COVID started.
Oh, yeah.
So then we just decided to do online because it's just, I don't know, easier, but it can be also kind of hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know, that's been kind of hard in Spain because, I don't know, everyone like already has their group of friends, you know, like more teenagers.
Yeah.
But I've tried a couple of youth groups. The first one I wasn't a huge fan of because most of the kids that were going there were way younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
And then the second one I went to with my sisters, but they were like all way older than me.
Oh, yeah. So you're not finding anything. It's like Goldilocks, right? I don't know if you know that story. Their Goldilocks goes into the house and this bed's too small and this one's too big and this one's just right. You got to find that youth group that's just your age.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not that type of person who really likes to get out of their comfort zone to, you know, put myself out there to find friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I tried to do it 2 times and
I was going to say you've had to do that a number of times, right? I mean, like, because you living in Costa Rica and then moving to Indiana and finding new friends and now having to do that again.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I feel like that's been the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So
it's finding deep friendships.
Yeah.
I could see why coming to Prague and connecting with people, even though they're younger, like just having some people you're connecting with would be really meaningful, right? I mean, like, these are some people that aren't family, but are family in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%.
So tell me about church. You guys go to a church called En Mi Lugar, which means in my place.
Yes.
And it is Pastor Alejandro and Carmen de Francisco. They kind of church planted this church. So tell us about the church and what it's like. When do you meet? Where do you meet? What does it look like?
Yeah. So we meet at Alejandro and Carmen's house in their basement.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's actually kind of cool. And it's a really small church. It started with like, I don't know, maybe 6 people.
Yeah.
And then right now we have like about, I don't know, maybe 30 to 40, sometimes a little more.
That's great.
People going to church, which is really cool. Sometimes we've been kind of switching off buildings, just trying to find a bigger place.
Yeah.
Because more people keep coming to church and
Oh, so you met at a restaurant for a while, right?
Yeah.
I saw pictures of that, but then the timing of it didn't work out because when the restaurant would let you have the building, it wasn't the best time for people to come.
Yeah. So then, we tried to go to the restaurant, but like you said, But, and then we also like, at the beginning, church was around 1 p.m.
Okay.
But because of summer, it gets super, super hot in Madrid. So then they switched off to 7 p.m. And that didn't end up really working out for a long time because it got hotter.
Yeah.
So then now we're back to, we're doing 11 a.m. right now.
Okay.
So.
I think that, it's fascinating. I don't think we realize we have air conditioning now in this room. It's an on-wall unit in the other room that we have the door open from because in a lot of Europe, there isn't like central air like we're used to, like some people have in the United States. So, I mean, when you talk about the importance of how hot it is outside, that's because sometimes the room you're in may not be cooled. And so you don't want to bring 40 people into a room when it's really, really hot outside if there's not air conditioning.
Yeah.
But I think we forget that not everybody has air conditioning around Europe. That's a lot less common, I feel like, than what people realize.
Yeah, it's not really common to have ACs in your house.
Yeah.
So I guess Spanish people are used to that for sure. But I mean, it gets up to 120 sometimes.
Wow.
So it's super hot and it's a super dry weather.
Yeah.
So you feel like you're in an oven, honestly. So, yeah.
You're being cooked. So, and it's also strange in the summer because, again, this is not part of our culture in the United States, but August is really quiet in Spain. Like lots of shops and offices close down for most of the month. Does that affect the church then as well? Like, are people traveling a lot during that time?
Yeah, some people are. But honestly, there's like a good amount of people that come to church. Like sometimes they take a weekend trip to...
Gotcha.
A beach or something like that, but you know, they come back and so it's still pretty decent, that good amount of people that come to church.
There'll be a lot of factors to try to navigate the heat, the best time to meet. Emily, do you enjoy going to church? You can be honest.
I mean, I like the church people and stuff, but I mean, I liked my old church better.
Yeah.
Because there were some more people my age, like actually like teenagers in my age, and I had a lot more friends.
And what church was that? For some people will know the church, maybe.
Canyonlight Church of God.
Yeah, in Auburn, Indiana. So a pretty large church.
Yeah.
I mean, probably a lot of, I mean, a fairly large youth group even. So yeah, that would be a big change from a church of, I don't know how many they have, but hundreds of youth, mm-hmm, you know, down to you being all of the youth. You and your yeah sister making up most of the youth group.
Yeah. But I mean, I would like Carmen and Alejandro, like they're great. But it's just like hard, again, finding like the people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's something that's been interesting about Spanish culture? Something that maybe that surprised you?
I was kind of surprised. Like, okay, I don't know how this is going to come out. But like, when I first got there, I thought that people were going to be like really nice and everything. But like, I feel like it just kind of depends on the person, how like they want to treat you or whatever. Mm. Because like we found people who can like be like super nice, and like after we're done talking to them, we're like, oh yeah, he was so nice. And then like sometimes we'll just be like, ow, or like a girl at the store, and then like we pay and they're just all rude and like they're stressed. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if like if that's their culture or like if they just had a bad day or something. So
yeah. Yeah, it's hard to know, you know, what people are experiencing, but it's easy when you're in those new places to try to figure out what you may be experiencing. Like, is this the way everybody's going to treat me? Because I don't want to have this conversation if they are. How about you, Daleska? What's something that surprised you about living in Spain?
I think of how, like, just the whole meal thing of how, well, Spanish people, like sometimes we drink, I don't know, wine or something in the morning for breakfast.
Oh, interesting. That's,
yeah,
that's early.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes like we're walking around and I'm like, wait, are they drinking wine or something like that? Or white wine? I don't know what they're drinking, but yeah. And just like how late they eat lunch.
Yeah.
And dinner.
So talk about that. What time of the day would that be?
So lunch would be around 4 p.m. or 3 p.m.
Okay.
And dinner would be around 8 to midnight.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what happens in between? Is there, I've heard about a siesta. Is that true? Does that actually happen in Spain? What is
yeah
that? So what does that mean? What
yeah,
is,
it happens to the Spanish people, but not in my family, really.
you have to tell them we need to be more culturally like Spanish people. I want my siesta.
Yeah. I don't like taking naps.
Oh, okay. So you don't need a siesta.
Yeah.
Well, then I need to you need to advocate for me to get a siesta. I'd like a siesta.
Yeah.
So after lunch, how long is a siesta normally for Spanish people?
Maybe a couple of hours.
Okay.
Yeah. But a lot of times, like, because kids have school from like 9 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
So they would get off of school like around 2 for like lunch and their siesta time. And then they would go back to school, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think just the whole, you know, meal thing.
Yeah, that's very different.
Yeah.
It would be a shock to go from that, like having dinner at 10 o'clock at night, to then coming to the States where you might have dinner at 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like that's a big shift.
Yeah. And then when restaurants are closed, like they close their kitchen completely.
Yeah.
And then you can go to have tapas. So those are like appetizers, like, I don't know, some chips or peanuts.
Yeah.
But yeah. And the other thing would be, I don't know, like Emily was saying how people can be, they're pretty serious. And like, I feel that old people are kind of mean. They're mean than like younger people.
Yeah.
Because they just look at you like, you know, from head to toe.
Yeah.
And just, they're just kind of give you this dirty look. Yeah. And like, you don't ever smile at people.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like they're super serious. And
so when you're walking on the street, people don't smile at each other.
Mm-mm. And they don't make eye contact for a long time, maybe for like 3 seconds.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah.
That would feel really like, I would feel like they're mean, even if they're not trying to be, because we're so used to having eye contact and smiling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, all of us adjusted to that, you know, like it was even hard going back to the States because we like don't smile at people anymore. Yeah. So like there were times where like someone was smiling at us or I don't know, just saying hi or whatever. Like, we would be like, do we know them? Yeah.
So. Because you don't talk to somebody on the street if you don't know them in Spain. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was just like all kind of crazy, like going back to the States and just like, you know, having people be so nice to you. But yeah, and like, I don't know, when people are super nice, it's just like shocking to us. Like, it makes our whole day.
Wow.
Because someone's like, I don't know, talking to us and, you know, smiling and everything, but... Yeah. So that's how Spanish people are.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that would be tough for me because I like to smile and say hi to people. I'd probably freak people out a little bit. Like, I think they make them uncomfortable, right? I mean, like, if you do that and they're like, why are you looking at me? What do you hope to see? Like, what do you hope to do or see or experience in the next year? Do you have dreams and hopes for the next year?
Yeah.
Okay, what are they? Can you share any of it with us?
Yeah, I mean, I really hope I like, obviously like volleyball, sport. I want to start running more with my dad. Well, actually last night I just talked to my mom about like selling like bracelets and stuff. Because,
oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'd really like to do that. Yeah, I don't know.
That's
figure
awesome.
Out something. For my hair.
You have awesome hair.
Thanks.
How about you, Naleska? What are your hopes and dreams for the next year?
For me is to, I don't know, survive this last year of high school.
Yeah. So one more year you graduate.
Yeah. I'm super excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I don't know. Just recently I figured out what I want to study.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that? Is that something you could share with us? I'd love to know.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this year, when we went to Costa Rica for meetings.
Okay, yeah. January.
Yes, yeah. When we stayed at the house, like the, I don't know, rental or...
Yeah, it was an Airbnb.
Yeah, and there was this guy. He was the one in charge of everything.
Okay.
You know, like just making sure that everyone got what they needed and... Yep. Planning the meals and then the trips or just things like that.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, wow, like I want to, you know, kind of do that.
Yeah.
In the future. And then, so like, I don't know, that sounds, I don't know, it looked really interesting. And he also like speaks two languages, English and Spanish. And I'm like, well, I also speak two languages.
Absolutely.
So then I just decided that I want to study tourism management.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Thanks.
You would get to meet all kinds of people.
Yeah.
What a neat opportunity. And for someone who has experiences in Costa Rica and the United States and Spain, like you already have a huge jump on recognizing culture and those challenges. And that if a person from Spain doesn't look at you or smile, it doesn't mean they don't like you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So would you go to school then to study that?
Yeah, I don't really want to go to college. Like I always said that I don't want to go to college.
Yeah.
But then if I go to college, I would want to just get a certificate. So just for like a year. And which I mean, I can use a certificate for many things.
Yeah.
So I want to do that for a year, maybe online here so I can be with my family or go to back to the States and then maybe get a job and also go to school.
That's awesome.
So, but I know that I want to move back to Costa Rica at some point.
Yeah.
So
it's a beautiful country.
It is. It's
a beautiful country.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I am so grateful to hear those things. And that gives us something to be praying about for you guys in this next year. And we'll be praying, Emily, for you. And we'll be praying, Naleska, for you as well. Is there anything else you want to share with us or any words of advice for anyone?
Okay, so my advice is that change can be hard, but if it's God's plans for your life, it might turn out really good. So just give it a chance, you know, to what God has prepared for you. And, you know, it might be the best thing that ever happened to your life. So, yeah, change is good.
Well, going back to the people being nice to you or whatever, like in Spain, we've noticed that like if you have a dog or like, I don't know, a pet, like they'll be nicer to you. Like they'll go and like,
oh,
can I pet your dog or like, what's his name or something like that.
That is such a good reminder. Like even in the States, sometimes that's helpful. Like I find that I got to know my neighbors more when I had a dog or when you have a baby, just because you're out and about with them and people stop you and want to have a conversation. It's a great icebreaker, a great way to have to start conversations. Well, you guys, it's so good to hear from you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Thanks for sharing your hearts and your experience, though you have had so much that's happened in the last couple of years with traveling, with living in Costa Rica, then living in the United States, then living in Spain. I hope that as you look back on that, that you see how God uses those experiences to build in wherever you're heading to in the future, whether it's connected to tourism, whether it's the way you connect with friends. I hope that you see those, not that it was all good. I'm sure there were challenges in there too. And it's difficult to leave places that we love, like you said, Emily, but I hope that every place you go, you're able to use those things that you learn to just love the people around you. And I see you do that. So thanks so much. Love you guys, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.